Commitment that we pass out to you, the scriptural distinctions of actualization in eternity. Everybody say actualization in eternity.
Actualization.
Or manifestation in time. So basically, this is where we're going to live for the next year or so.
Alright.
Distinguishing between what is actual,
right.
Recognizing that the sphere of actualization resides exclusively in eternity. And manifestation in time resides exclusively in time. Amen. So when you're talking about actualization or anything that is actual, that is real, the sphere is in eternity. When you're talking about manifestation, revelation, testimony, amen, basically depicting things that are around us in time, in the time capsule, if you please, we are basically focusing exclusively on just the echo or shadow of what has been projected, but the actual, is in reality in eternity. It's like standing in front of a mirror. One of my grandkids, I was looking in the mirror and they walked in and they said, they looked in the mirror and they looked at me and said, there are two granddaddies. I said, no, there's only one. The one that's here. One in the mirror, amen, is just a testimony. So that's what time is.
Oh, come on now. Go on.
We're just looking in a mirror. And what's being reflected in that mirror is what we see.
That's right.
The actual is in God's decree. Isn't that something? I want you to turn to our base scripture. Turn the page. First of all, if you got your document, look real close at the picture there. Can you see that writing? It's in white. Remember now, those of you who may be listening to this on our website, www.gracegospelministrytry.com. You can go into the audio section and hear these messages, and you can click on the icon, and up comes the written scripting that we are referring to. Scripture distinctions of actualization in eternity from manifestation in time. Basically, what this states is, can anybody see it there? What it says? It says, viewing what?
Viewing life from the
eternal. Everybody read it, they can see it. Viewing life from the eternal plane, where God accomplished all things, brings peace to daily living. Let's say that again. Viewing life from the eternal plane, where God accomplished all things, brings peace to daily living. In other words, how are you looking at it? Are you looking at it down on the vertical plane of where you are? Or are you looking at it from the down the horizontal plane, I should say, where you are? Are you looking at it from the vertical plane? The vertical plane is where God, amen, resides, and basically that's the plane that we are encouraged by our gospel, the gospel of the grace of God, to view things from.
Yes,
amen. There you get a total panoramic view of all things. Yeah, you see the bad things, but you see the good things too. And I guarantee you, when you see it all, the good things outweigh the bad things. Far outweigh. Huh? My God. There's no comparison. The other thing is, we passed out to you one page that has the picture. Does everyone have that? Huh? Okay, and for those that may be listening, amen, this is a picture of First of all, the one in the top has all the planets arrayed, and the purpose of this is to juxtapose all of the planets, and we see that Earth is not nearly as large as Saturn, and of course Jupiter just dwarfs it, but even Uranus and Neptune actually, in effect, dwarf the Earth. And so, as we look at these planets, Earth looks very small, right? Mm-hmm. Now, let's look at the bottom picture. And you see the components of the solar system. You see the sun there. And then now Jupiter, that looked so large in the frame above, looks pretty small in comparison, doesn't it now? It looks small. And then if Jupiter looks small in comparison to the front, to the top frame, look at how it has shrunk. The Earth has shrunk. And how it is so small, it is like a dot. Now, the bottom frame shows some components of the solar system that we're in. The solar system is situated in the galaxy. The galaxy has billions of stars. So the sun is just one little dot. If you were able to juxtapose, take the Milky Way, and then if you were able to, and I don't know how that could be illustrated unless there was some great magnification injected. But the sun would be a dot. Mm-hmm. It would be a blimp in the Milky Way.
Right.
So now, if the sun, which we have just juxtaposed against the Earth, is just a blimp, then what is the Earth in the Milky Way? It's infinitesimal. It's infinitesimal. Now, you say, Pastor, are you saying that we're not important to God? We're ultra important to God because He has placed us in His body, in the body of Christ. But this is how the Lord works. For His glory, He takes the small infinitesimal things and uses them so no one, amen, would get the wrong idea about who's who and what's what.
Amen. Thank God.
Also, when you look at that, it conveys the actual status of God. How big He is and how small we are. You see, there are some this morning who have trouble giving God all of His dues because we're so big. Remember, the bigger you are, the smaller He is. On the other hand, the smaller you are, the bigger He is. And now when we take the illustration that we have just conveyed to you, and we take the Milky Way, and we take the billions of stars in it, and then scientists have agreed, the Milky Way is one galaxy, that there must be billions of galaxies. So now how big is God? Huh? That's why we say we are nothing and He's everything. Because it's the truth. Now, our aim is to focus on who we are only in relationship to who we are in Christ.
Amen.
Without Him, I'm nothing. You're nothing. In Him, we're everything.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God, isn't that something?
Yes, sir. Amen. Thank God.
But you see, the focus has to be on Him and not on us.
Amen.
And we are only important in the sense that He loved us and He showed His grace toward us in eternity. And He has placed us in the body of Christ. And this is why we won't come in here, we won't focus on the political scene, and politics is important in this place, the social scene, and sociology is important in this place.
Amen.
But life transcends what's happening in the time capsule. You see, we've been sold some wrong information. We are so enamored and place so much emphasis on time because theologians have told us, and some of us misconstrued time on an equal plane with eternity. We're told that eternity was past until time came along, and then eternity got put on hold, and it stays on hold until time is run in succession. And so we say time passed. We say eternity past, time, eternity future. No such thing. Eternity hasn't gone anywhere. Time is a creation.
That's
right. Created in order to testify to the great and glorious workings of our Lord.
Yes.
God didn't need to do it. He didn't need to do that for himself. He doesn't even have to materialize anything. He doesn't have to prove anything to himself. A thing doesn't have to materialize to exist. And God thinks it. That ontologizes it right there. It comes into being. It becomes a fact.
That's right.
And God has ontologized all things, but it is in the eternal sphere. We are in a time capsule.
That's right.
And this is what we must understand. And so when we go to the scriptures and we read, we must always think of that which is eternal being the actual. And what's in time is only a reflection or an echo. Now, let's turn the page where we, second page there at the bottom of the table contents. We have our scriptures there. Who is our? Ella Lieberman is our designated reader. Colossians 1:16, turn to that. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Now remember, the actual workings of creation is in the eternal sphere, not in time. And as we progress into our dissertation, and maybe in part two or somewhere, we take a realistic view of Genesis chapter 1. Because other than 1 and 1, the rest of it, starting with verse 2, is really talking about manifestation, not creation. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Now, Elder, read that. Everybody got to say amen. First in the King James, so that we can juxtapose it against actual literal English translation in order, as we juxtapose it, we are able to see why so many think of creation in time rather than in eternity. All right, everybody got it? Say amen. All right, read or read.
Colossians chapter 1, beginning with the 16th verse. For by him were all things created.
You see that? I hope by now you have marked that up.
Yeah.
That should be in. Read.
There are in heaven,
mm-hmm,
and there are in earth,
mm-hmm,
visible and invisible.
See that? Again, it said in earth. Mm-hmm. Mark that up. That Greek word is epi, not by. It's not by, it's in. It is upon. It is not in a by, it is upon. The things that are upon the earth Read.
In earth, whether they be thrones,
mm-hmm.
or dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things were created.
All things. Everybody say all things.
All things.
Mm-hmm.
Were created by him and for him.
Oh, God, let's help him go to the Greek.
I'm mercy.
Now, if you have the interlineal, you can follow along as he read. If not, you can follow along in your Bible. Amen. But just know that what he's reading is the literal word for word, having to follow the Greek scripting. All right, with that said, Elder Reed.
Because in him.
See that difference?
Yes.
Huh? You got mm-hmm. epsilon ni. Epsilon ni. In. Go ahead.
Because in him were created mm-hmm. all things in the heavens.
In. Again, you have in. You have the Greek word in, which is in. In the heaven. Uh-huh.
And on the earth.
And you have the Greek word epi. Epi, which is on, upon the earth. It is in the heavens. All things are in the heavens that are on the earth. Things on the earth were created in the heavens. Oh, my God.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Glory.
Huh? Didn't we just see how small the earth is?
That's right.
So now God's going to create all the heavens and then turn around and create the earth. You see? But it doesn't read that way. All right?
The visible
mm-hmm.
and the invisible.
Mm-hmm.
Were the thrones.
Now see, things that are visible, of course we see they are materialized. Invisible, he created that too.
That's right.
Every thought, every occurrence.
Every.
It's a creation.
That's right.
Nobody brings anything into existence other than God.
Mm-hmm. Come on. Glory to God. Amen.
But we have to understand that. And to understand that, you've got to take it out of the time zone. That is creation out of the time zone. The only thing that occurs in the time capsule is the echo or the reflection or the manifestation or the revelation.
Yes, Lord.
Mm-hmm. All things.
Oh.
Keep reading.
Because in heaven and on earth.
Mm-hmm. Whether thrones.
Whether thrones
mm-hmm.
or lordships.
Mm-hmm.
Or rulers,
mm-hmm.
or authorities.
All things.
All things.
All things, what?
Through him
uh-huh.
and for him have been created.
Through him and unto him. Through him. It's through him.
Amen. Thank you.
Oh my God, it is the Greek word there, the base variation is thea, through. Thea, through him. Oh my God. It basically is saying them through him, and you have the other preposition there, you have east. East is what? For him. It is unto him and for him. In other words, everything that's going on, it's not about you, it's about God.
That's right.
To him and for him. Everything that happens. Everything that moves. Anything that wiggles. Anything that is anything. Amen. Is all about to him. Amen. Unto him. And for him.
That's right.
Basically for his glory.
That's right. Amen.
Alright. I want you to go to the glossary of definitions for a second. We shall do this for several outings until we actually come to have these things indelibly impressed into our minds. Actualization means to make actual, real, turn into action of facts. Actuation, to put into action, to start a process. Insight, a move to action. Impel, a motivate. I want you to come down. Conception, the origination or beginning, that is, the act of power of forming an idea, of forming an idea of substance. So that means that the only one that can do that is who?
God.
God. Amen. We have many misperceptions, but anything that is a true conception comes from God. God is truth. Man is a liar. All right? Let's drop down. Not going to go through all of these, just some of them. Decree. What is a decree? To command, ordain, and all are having the force of law, or I should say principle. That is a formal and authoritative order. Now, we think of that in terms of men, but everything that a man decrees doesn't materialize, does it? Amen. Everything that God decrees materializes. When a thing materializes, it is only testifying that it is. All right. And a lot of times men decree things and it doesn't materialize because it isn't. But if God decrees it, it is. And the decree, amen, forms the basis of what is manifested.
Yeah, right.
And it can't manifest unless it's decreed, unless God is alive.
Right. Right.
Glory to God.
Right. Amen.
We know that God cannot lie.
Amen.
Let's move down.
That's right.
Existence. It's the state of being real, actually current, rather than imagined. I said it again. It is the state of being real, actually current, rather than something that is imagined. Manifestation. Manifestation is the outward perceivable indication of revelation of materialization.
Amen.
That is all it is. All right, we shall be back to some of these, one other at the bottom, time capsule. You shall hear that many, many times. Time capsule. Time capsule is God's creation of a containment entity with the creed representations chartering the course of the past, present and our future of generations for the purpose of revealing testimony and sequence spirits therein.
Right.
Amen. So God created this, and the purpose, amen, was to give testimony, and he has to do it in sequences because, amen, we are limited to, in what we can perceive. God, amen, perceives it all at once because, amen, to him it is all at once. It is one decree, amen, but he has, for our sake, to break it down into components. Amen. But oh my God, in Christ, in our new nature, as God perceives, we'll be able to perceive. Isn't that great? Amen, but we're not there yet. All right. I want you to check your Bibles now and turn to, I told you we were going to be, amen, a little bit more technical this morning. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now we're going here because every time we do something, we must have a reason for doing it. Pastor used to always say, know what you're doing and why you're doing it. Amen. And so we always seek to be led by the Spirit. And if we're doing a thing, we want to have some scripture,
right,
amen, as our reason for doing it. Everybody got it? Say amen. All right. Here, Paul sets forth the basis of what the ministry is. You know the story of the Corinthians. They were the most physical people you could ever see. Amen. If it wasn't physical, it wasn't real. And they were not impressed with spiritual things. They were so they were so mixed up. Until just like today, they were not able to distinguish between the physical and the spiritual. And even to today, many things that we call spiritual are not spiritual, they are physical. If the Lord bless you with a new house, that is a physical blessing. That is not a spiritual blessing. That's not what Paul has reference to in the third verse of the first chapter of Ephesians. He speaks of him having blessed us with spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. It is not physical, it is spiritual. If you can see it, taste it, touch it, amen. It is not spiritual, it's physical. Now we thank God for physical blessings, but we want to be able to draw the distinction between what is spiritual and what is physical. All right, everybody got it? Say amen. All right, elder. Oh, goddess. Okay, read the first seven verses.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with the first verse. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren.
You see that? You see that? You got a pretty good Bible in your hand. Look at that word gifts. Does it look different to you?
Yeah.
It's italicized, isn't it?
Right.
Isn't it?
Right.
You know why the translator italicized it? He italicized it because there was no Greek word to underline. If there's no Greek word to underline, that's not what the Spirit is saying.
No.
That's what he's saying.
Come on here.
Teach it.
That's right.
And I can tell you going forward, just strike that out.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what Paul was saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the scribe that was writing this, amen, he took good dictations. And when you check all of the manuscript writings, whether they be in the codexes or in the papyri, none of them, amen, has the word for gifts in there. So it doesn't belong in there, you take it out. But that's not what Paul is talking about.
That's right. Come on with it.
And when we read it from the Greek, it's going to sound a little different.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Keep reading. King James. We're going through him. And reason. And we're not picking on the King James. But that's the one we all cut our teeth on. Do you want to know the actual conveyance? And this is why some say, well, Pastor, you get so taken in. Just tell us what it is. Yeah. I there's a whole lot of things I can stand up here and tell you. But is that what you really want? I mean, I could have had a bad night last night. I come in here telling you some things and it's not there. It's not about, amen. Believe me, you want to follow the script. That's what's wrong in the churches today.
Yes. That's it. Amen.
We're being led by the word of men instead of the word of God.
Yeah.
If it didn't say it, then no saying it said it. You don't like when somebody misquotes you, do you? Huh? I know we're living in the age of grace. All right, read that.
In the Greek.
No, just read the King James and we'll clear it up. Just read, we'll clean it up. Just read it.
Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried about unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Verse 3. Wherefore I give to you understanding, that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus a curse.
Mm-hmm.
And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And there are differences of administration.
Now that's why they took that word and transported. You do have in verse 4, you do have the word there for gifts.
Right.
But if it's in verse 4 and not in verse 1, uh-huh. Amen, don't take it out of verse 4 and put it up in verse 1. That's where they got it from.
Yep.
But leave it where it is.
Leave it there.
The thing of the men is they always got to, quote, help God out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. God doesn't need our help. Yeah. Said the way he has said it. Mm-hmm. Because the way he has said it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if we say what he says, yeah, then it is.
Yeah.
But if we say what he hasn't said, yeah, it isn't.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh, amen. God. That's right. Thank God. Yes. Amen.
Yes. Yes. Whole lot of foolishness going on in churches and the ministries this morning.
Yes, indeed.
Way off the track. Mm-hmm. Not even close. not just a little off, like we used to say in the South, a country mile.
Mile. That's right. Yeah.
Oh, long way. Not even close. Not even close. All right, keep reading in verse 4.
Verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And there are differences of administrations,
We'll clear it up. Go ahead.
Verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all.
Mm-hmm. Verse 7.
But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal.
All right. Now, let's go to the Greek scripture. Follow, if you don't have it, just follow along now. Read. Verse 1.
Verse 1, Greek text. Now about the spiritual matters, brothers.
See, he had to put that. He had to, of course, that's better. Amen.
I do not wish you to be
spirituals. Everybody says spirituals.
Spirituals.
Spirituals. Okay, he's saying spiritual things, spiritual matters, okay. But at least we're talking spiritual.
Right, right, right.
He didn't say spiritual gifts.
No. Come on with it. Bring it out. Bring it out. Bring it out.
Read.
Yes.
Okay. Now, about the spiritual, brothers, I do not wish you to be ignorant.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Woo, say that again.
I do not wish you to be ignorant.
Say that again.
I do not wish you to be ignorant.
Oh, my God. Some people don't like for me to use that word. And that's because the connotation that we put on it. We made it, that word, to reflect insult. The etymology of that word simply means lack of knowledge. And we all have lack of knowledge, or we're all ignorant about something. The only person that's not ignorant at all is God. It's simply being lack of knowledge. And you know how words through the ages and through the they take on different meanings. You know, I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but you know what? Gay used to mean happy.
It sure did, right? It sure did. It sure did. It sure did. That's right.
We used to sing a song in church that I am so happy. I am so. You can't say that. You better put free in there or anything. All right, that was just an example. I'm not talking about nobody and amen, whatever. But this word ignorant, it simply means what? Lack of knowledge. Now, don't you go out there and call somebody ignorant tomorrow. Because of what the connotation is, you got to get punched in the nose. Because it does in our usage today, carries an inference of insult.
Right.
But I will not have you ignorant. Read.
I will not have you ignorant.
I will not have you ignorant concerning what? Spiritual matters or spiritual things.
Right.
I will not have you ignorant concerning those things that are spiritual. God's people are too ignorant concerning spiritual things.
Yeah.
God's people have an extreme lack of knowledge of spiritual things.
Yes. Yeah.
And we know all about the happenings and so forth and so on. And sometimes people... family and grandchildren, they say, "Granddaddy, you don't know that." That I'm like, "No, I don't waste my time being foolish." No, I don't know the names of all of these things that's going down and these artists and all of that stuff you're saving. And of course, I'm not in the school around the kids and all of that. They
right.
And of course, most of the time, if I'm going on the internet, the sections I'm in, they're not talking about those things.
Right.
You know, and no, I don't know no Snappy Dog or whoever. I don't know. I'm not ashamed. No, I don't know who that is. I don't want to know who it is. What value is that? Singles and things and bouncy or bouncy or whatever. I don't know. I don't know. No. I'm sorry.
Amen.
I want to utilize my time exegeting.
Amen.
No. I'm sorry. No. Not N-O, no O. No. Ignorant. Ignorant concerning the spiritual things. Well, ignorant concerning those things that are spiritual.
Yeah.
The church, the ministry today. And this is what Paul was telling them. Because they were too physical. They were infatuated with tongues. Oh, I know I'm going to get in trouble with the apostolics. Now, I don't care. They're infatuated. Because it was physical.
That's it. Amen.
Healings, they were infatuated with that.
Yeah.
And of course, we all want to get healed and so forth and so on. But my God, don't let that be the ministry.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
This is what he's saying.
Laying
on of hands, people falling out, being, quote, slain in the spirit. That's Paul. This is what he's talking about here. That we must focus on the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
If it's spiritual, it's unseen.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what Paul is saying, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning the things that are unseen. That describes what is spiritual according, amen, to the fourth chapter around the 18th verse of Corinthians there. It is said that those things that are spiritual are everlasting.
Amen.
We are ignorant about the things that are everlasting.
Yeah.
And it also said, amen, that these things, amen, oh my God, they are the opposite of those things that are going to dissipate.
That's right. Very opposite. Yes, sir.
The things that we put the most credence on, they're fading.
Fading.
They're fading with the using.
Yeah.
Every time you use it, you're using it up.
That's right.
You're wearing it away. And so all he's saying is here, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning spiritual things or spiritual battles, that which is spiritual.
Right.
Whole lot different from how it looks to be what he's talking about here in verse 1, doesn't it, huh? Yeah. All right, verse 2.
Ye know that ye were nations, ye know that when nations ye were to the idols, voiceless, however ye were led, being led away,
and you are ignorant of the spiritual things because you are led away by the physical things.
Yes,
what is it all?
Exactly.
It's physical.
That's right.
In fact, Paul called them dumb idols. Some of the physical things that we're so transfixed on is dumb.
That's right.
They're dumb. They're not only physical, but they are dumb.
Dumb.
There's no value to them. All right, verse 3.
Wherefore I make known to you that no one by the Spirit of God speaketh, says, or curses Jesus, and that no one can say, Lord Jesus, except by the Spirit, by Holy Spirit.
Now, we dealt with that one last week in the perfecting class.
Yes.
In the evening. And indulge me a minute. We'll look at the time. The Greek verb there, norizo, is an indicative present. So it is a present fact. So Paul is saying, I'm making known to you, what? That, in all of that, no one in the Spirit of God call of Jesus a curse. Now we have a construction here. I'm getting a look. Just follow me now. Let's listen up here. We have a construction. Leilon, lei. You have two verbs. One is a participle. Participle is a verb of what?
Verb adjective.
It's a verb adjective. Adjective does what?
Describe.
It describes. So now you got a word that's describing, but there's also this acting. So you got an acting, describing word.
Right.
Next to it, you got the verb lei. Now, both of them are in the present tense. And by the way, leilon is a participle. So it has a case, and the case is the nominative case, and the nominative case is the subject. So that word is the subject of what this expression is about. And so, no one is reading, no one saying, can say, and hear, oh my God, anathema. Here it is translated, actually they transliterated that word. What is a transliteration? You take the same sound of the word from one language into the other. But it actually means curse. So no man saying, that's the participle. No man saying, no man talking. So he's saying that when you're saying something, making a statement, no man saying says. No man saying says. And here you have an indicative mood there, and it throws some folk off because the indicative mood is a fact.
Right.
So if you read that wrong, you'll be saying that, why can't someone say that Jesus is a curse. I can say what I want to say. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make it a fact.
There you go. There you go.
The key there is in the spirit.
In the spirit. Come on with it.
Anyone in the spirit cannot say that Jesus is a curse.
Amen. Amen.
And all the way you can factually say something is in the spirit. Here's what we're going. I know some of y'all look at me blank then.
Come on with it.
If it is not a reflection of what God has said, it is not a fact.
Come on with it. That's it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Remember when they were talking about they found the bone of Jesus and Jesus had the relationship with Mary Magdalene, and they found the descendant of Jesus, and she had a child for him. And he said, "I don't get upset." And some people say, "Hey, we should be in the street raising Cain, because if they had said that anything about the Muslims, you'd have 50,000 Muslims, 50 million Muslims in the street, and even a contract put out on this." So I'm getting upset because some fool said something. Don't insult my Jesus. You can't insult my Jesus.
Man.
You can make yourself look like a fool, but you can't insult my Jesus.
Man.
And giving the church a bad name, you can't give the body of Christ a bad name.
Man. No way. No way there.
See, what else is what God says? This is what basically, he said, you can say something, this is what he's saying, you can say something, but that doesn't mean anything. It's not true. So basically he's saying is, you cannot in the spirit factually say that Jesus, and the time is about going, I give you the background and show you the scriptures of what he was referring to and dealing with there. You know, I mean, we're not getting out here, we're not petitioning, we're not boycotting, we're not picketing. I mean, oh my God. What the ministry wastes time with is astounding. It is astounding. What the ministry is wasting time doing. If God has said it, we don't have to defend God. Isn't that crazy? Little puny creatures like us, we got to get out here and defend God. Don't you think God has the power to defend himself? You go defend people who are helpless and can't defend themselves. God's not in that category. Now the last part of that is that also, what no one is able, read that again, the last part of that.
Last part, that no one is able.
The latter part of verse two.
Okay.
In the Greek.
Verse 3.
I'm sorry.
Therefore, I make it known unto you that no one by the Holy Spirit of God speaking says, accursed is Jesus.
All right.
And that no one can say Lord Jesus, except by the Holy Spirit.
And no one can say Lord Jesus except. What?
In the spirit.
He's in the spirit. Even those out there say, God is great. He's not making a factual statement if he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Amen.
What did Jesus say? The man came and said, good master. He said, who are you calling good?
That's right. That's it. Bring it on.
Because it was apparent that Jesus knew that he didn't know who he was.
Right.
There's none good but God. Right. Unless you know I'm God, you can't call me good.
Yeah.
You can't factually say I'm good unless you know I'm God. And all the way to come on, I'm God is that the Spirit has to reveal to you that I'm God.
Glory to God.
That's
it. Amen.
That's why we seek to say what the Spirit says. And stay in the Spirit.
That's right. Amen.
And let the Spirit speak.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I am in training these brothers. I'm telling you, let the script do the talking. Let the scriptures do the talking. You don't have to get up here. I've got some great ideas, but they're worthless. No, you want to know what God has said.
Yes, sir. Thank God.
So basically, this is what he's saying. And then in verse 4, well, we don't have time this morning. We'll start that next week. Oh, my God. What he's doing. Here, Paul is setting forth the course of the ministry. What the ministry has to be about.
That's right.
It's not about a man. It's about God. It's not about the ideas of men. It's about God.
Yes, sir.
I got a good idea. So what? I want to know what God is thinking. I want to know what God is saying. Not what man is saying. Because what man is saying may or may not be. Then we just got through reading. Get through reading. If it is not, if he's not in the spirit when he's saying it, and I don't know whether you, what spirit you in when you're talking, huh? But so that I pick up the word of God, amen, and see, did God say it? If God said it, now I believe it.
All right.
Oh, you all don't hear me this morning. Give me 5 minutes. Let's go in the document. I guess I'll never get through this introduction. Let's go to page 2. Of the introduction, the second page. Introduction in this next page. See the second paragraph there? The first paragraph, it says that the greatest problem encountered in misguided concepts of security is that such exudes a false sense of identification with the resonation to what is visual. In other words, what we look, we resign ourselves to the fact that what is what's visual. And while we're doing that, while mostly exhibiting denial of that which is non-visual.
Right.
Because sometimes the visual conflicts with the non-visual.
Right.
And because we think we see, and we, in our conception, we think we see what we don't see, we block out the non-visual because the visual seems more evident to us. Sometimes we visualize disaster. And we block out the security that is in Christ. So we get so caught up on the disaster, which is visible, until we block out what is invisible, which is non-visual, which is the security that's in Christ. And so, why you should be standing, amen, in the securities of the security of Christ, amen, you're standing in the insecurity of what you see as pending doom. Impending doom.
Oh, my God.
Follow one paragraph and then I'm down. It is these misrepresentations. Are you with me? It is these misrepresentations that cause so many of God's people to mistrust the will of His divine decree and reject the scriptural concepts of actualization. And what do we say? Actualization is what?
Real.
And it is where? In eternity. Actually, the thing is actualized. The real stuff is in eternity.
Yes, amen.
This is also what induces the Orthodox theologians to reject the eternal doctrines of grace. I don't care. I'm not intimidated. I don't care how big they are, how many stations, TV and radio stations they own, how big a campus they have, how much money they've got, how much notoriety they have, how many members and followers they have, amen. Those who do not espouse the eternal doctrines of grace amen, they are teaching that which is not according to those things that God has given through the Apostle Paul as directed to the body of Christ. If you're not preaching these eternal doctrines of grace, amen, you are depriving yourself and those who are around you of the knowledge that is in Christ according to the mystery. All this good information, we don't get it. We just don't get it. Give me 5 minutes. It is crucial for conceptualizations to be spiritually accurate, as what is needed is the realization that the teachings of self-reliance, self-motivation, and self-restraint are reckless and abusive. You talk about abuse? That is something that is being inflicted that is harmful. The teaching of self-reliance is harmful. The teaching of self-motivation is harmful. So what are you talking about? You know, reposition yourself. Reposition yourself. Enjoy an everyday life. How are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? How are you going to enjoy everyday life? Because some days, if you go by what's visible, there's no way to enjoy that.
No way. No way. Thank God.
Huh? We sing the song, but we don't believe it. Leaning on Jesus. You're not.
That's so true.
You know. Leaning on everlasting love. No, you're not.
That is so true.
Yeah. So you saying safe and secure. You, as long as my bills are paid.
You absolutely right. Yeah, absolutely right.
I feel safe. Huh? Oh my God. Let me finish this up. I always get to come back. I love it. I love it. I always get to come back. All right. They may even incite human sentiment, but they are anemic. They may even incite human sentiment, but they are anemic. The universally orthodox institutions of synergism. What is synergism? That's when they teach us that we're partnershiping the contribution of humankind because these are necessary operants in effectuating the workings of God. In other words, we have to help God out.
Right.
It is you plus God.
Right.
It's not God by himself. God told Job, he said, Job, have you lost your mind? I'm just paraphrasing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So where were you?
Where were you?
When I hung the... huh? Where were you?
Mm-hmm.
Now you just come along and you feel like... Yeah. You, Lord, do you know what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
come. Is that crazy? Is that crazy? Well, we can be pretty boneheaded sometimes, can't we? I'm talking about all of us.
Amen.
I have my
Amen.
Days, and because, oh my God, thank you. He's able to, oh my God, to just, there's a gear that shifts, you know, when I get into that mode. Gear shifts, and then the Lord just, he just takes everything back in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bad report from the doctor, that can just slay us. I mean, We'll die because the bad news kills us.
Uh-huh. That's right. Uh-huh. Huh? Preach it. Amen. Yes. Amen.
You get Amen. The news that you got cancer. It messes you up so bad you have a heart attack. You don't get a chance to die from cancer. You die. That was induced by the news of the happening cast.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that crazy? Give me 3 minutes. The universally orthodox syllogism, institutions of syllogism, are at their best intervallic. You know, intervals in and out. They're intervallic to accommodate in the source of God's eternal decree. That's at the best.
That's it.
And at their worst, they're diverse to implementing the demands of God's decree. That thing's going to happen because God decreed it.
That's it.
And because you're not so sure about your part in it, you're not sure whether that thing's going to happen or not.
That's it, preacher. Amen. Thank God.
I wonder what God did with this world before any of us ever came along. Especially the earth.
Yeah.
You know the old joke Baptist preacher told, and everybody just fell out, and preachers went out through the nation telling that joke from the pulpit. Talk about the farmer that was standing out there. The man came up and said, "Ooh, look how God bless you with all of these crops." Then he's supposed to turn, the farmer's supposed to turn to me, "Well, you should just see what it looked like when God had it all by himself." Isn't that crazy? In other words, if I hadn't if I hadn't planted and planted,
right.
I had garden. How did the Garden of Eden get there?
Right.
Huh?
Right.
And you can plant, and you can walk. But what did Paul say? Apollos planted. I watered. But I mean, he said, "I planted. Apollos watered. But what? God giveth the increase. He can put every seed down. He can plow. He can do what? He can do anything he wants. If God doesn't say grow, it doesn't grow."
Amen. That's right.
And the only reason it grew because God said grow.
Right.
And God brought the crops up by himself. Oh my God, y'all know we don't believe that. God pays your bills all by himself.
So it does.
No, I do. I.
That's it.
Oh, Jesus.
By himself.
I know we don't believe that. And he don't even need your help to pay your bills. No, he doesn't.
Jesus.
Last statement. What must be finally comprehended is that the majority thinking or majority cogitation in these matters is incorrectly mired in doctrinal persuasions that have influenced God's people to seek unattainable goals through human efforts instead of them trusting what God has been, or what God has predetermined for their individual lives. And we're move forward in this next week, but I say to you, oh my God, let's get on the right thought train. Let's understand that God is in control. That God is doing these things. Let's know and understanding that it's not about us; it's about Him. Not only about Him; it's all about Him. Huh? And when it comes to pass, it's because God brought it to pass. And if it didn't come to pass, God hadn't decreed it.
Right.
And it couldn't manifest because it wasn't decreed.
Right.
Because only that which is decreed is ontologized and has come into being.
Right.
You cannot, amen, be revealed unless it's a lie. And God cannot lie. So he's able.
That's right. He's able. Thank God.
Can you say he's able. To do what no other power can do? If you got rivers that need crossing, God is able. But more than the fact is he able, is it his will?
That's right.
God specializes in doing the things that seem impossible, but it's only because we're limited.
that it is not about his capacity or his power. It's his will. His will dictates what his power does.
Glory to God.
That's
right. Amen. Thank God.
That's right.
Glory to God. Amen. Thank God. Yes, preach it.
Paul was writing in one place. He wound it up. He talked about all the things he'd gone through. Even to the point that he found himself alone.
Yep.
Everybody abandoned him.
Yep.
But he said, but the Lord.
Stood with me.
No man stood with me but God.
God.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. If God's standing with you, everything is under control. And if you know that God is under control, then based upon not what you see, but what God has said, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the things of God. And knowing,
thank God,
that He is greater than the circumstances of life. We're going to move on next week. We're going to move slowly through this. I don't know how this thing's going to work, because that's just only part one, and I haven't gotten to the introduction yet. Amen. But whatever the Lord knows, amen, we're going to move through these meticulously, and hopefully you'll come to give God more credit,
oh, Jesus,
and to trust Him more, and to know that He's in control. And no matter what the thing may seem to be,
right,
that's not the point. It's what God has decreed. And whatever He has decreed, we say, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Everybody repeat to me, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Not my will.
Not my will.
But yours is done.
Yours is done.
God bless you.
Praise Jesus. Praise.